The US President Donald Trump has said he will take very strong action against Iran if it executes protesters. The US-based human rights activist news agency has said it so far confirmed the killing of 2,403 protesters in Iran, as well as 12 children. Meanwhile, one of the protesters, 26-year-old Irfan Soltani, who was detained last week, is to be executed today in Iran, according to his family. Donald Trump was briefed yesterday by his security officials on the options available for action against Iran. And speaking to CBS News, he promised strong action if Iran executes protesters.
We will take very strong action. If they do such a thing, we will take very strong action.
And this strong action you're talking about, what's the end game?
The end game is to win. I like winning.
How do you define that winning in Iran?
Well, let's define it in Venezuela. Let's define it with al-Baghdadi. He was wiped out. Let's define it with Soleimani. And let's define it in Iran, where he wiped out their Iran nuclear threat in a period of about 15 minutes once the B-2s got there. And that was a complete obliteration, as it turns out, which is what I said initially. Then some questioned it, and they said, you know, Trump was right. So we've been right about everything. We don't want to see what's happening in Iran happen. And, you know, if they want to have protests, that's one thing. When they start killing thousands of people, and now you're telling me about hanging, we'll see how that works out for them. It's not going to work out good.
That's the US President Donald Trump speaking to CBS News. I've been speaking with our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, about Donald Trump's plans for Iran. I asked him how much is known about what he intends to do.
Really nothing, Justin. It's being held extremely tightly. And what little is coming out suggests an administration that either wants to keep everybody guessing, which I suppose is tactically smart and understandable, or an administration that can't make a decision itself on what it wants to do and is perhaps looking for time. These suggestions that the Vice President J.D. Vance is inclined to agree to Iranian suggestions that they get back into serious talks on ending uranium enrichment and the process of ramping up Iranian nuclear weapons, give the Iranians one last chance to see what's going on before there's any kind of military action that's being put out there. On the other hand, you heard the president seemingly more inclined to bomb first and ask questions later, as it were. He is looking at some kind of limited military action. And what he was suggesting there relates to assassinations of senior Iranian figures that he's carried out before in his first administration. The apprehension of Maduro in Venezuela over the past couple of weeks, the nuclear installation bombing, of course, of Iran last June, that a very big change in the US posture. There's also been reporting that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, when he visited President Trump at the very end of December, was looking for either permission or support to carry out strikes on Iranian ballistic missile facilities, which are being, we understand, repaired, renovated, and production stepped up at those facilities. So there's been a lot of moving parts out there, but so far we haven't seen any kind of a direct plan or mission being set out for US forces. Not that there is much buildup of US forces in the region, which you might anticipate before any kind of military action is to take place, other than something fairly pinpoint and perhaps even symbolic.
Elsewhere then, Sean, the US Vice President J.D. Vance is hosting talks today in Washington involving the Danish and the Greenlandic foreign ministers. Marco Rubio also joining that meeting. And it's all about the future of the world's biggest island, Greenland. What is the aim of those discussions today?
Well, the aim is to dial it all down, stop the rhetoric, stop all this talk of military action to take the island, talk of any kind of action, really, to take the island away from Denmark and into the make it a possession of the United States. There's been meetings in Brussels over the past couple of days, including at NATO and in the European Union, looking at this situation, trying to see if they can make some kind of a deal with the Trump administration to take this issue effectively off the table and put an end to this talk about America taking control of and taking possession of Greenland. It is being talked up now as very much an issue that could bring about the end of NATO and the NATO Secretary General involved in those talks on Monday in Brussels. Again, they are trying to see if there's something that they can do to have an agreement that the Europeans would step up Arctic security and that perhaps the Americans would get some kind of a cut of mining royalties for all of these presumed mineral wealth that is supposedly buried beneath the permafrost on Greenland. But that's not something that's going to start flowing anytime soon. The investment required to start mining in Greenland is simply immense, as would be the investment required for any hostile parties such as China or Russia seeking to occupy the territory. And according to NATO sources, there's been no indication that any Chinese ships or submarines or Russian vessels have been prowling around the area getting ready for an invasion. It's a very difficult place to sustain any kind of force operating there.
Separately then, Sean, US domestic politics trundles on and the Jeffrey Epstein story goes on as well. But this time it's not Donald Trump that is the at the centre of it, but it is Bill and Hillary Clinton, who have both refused to testify before a Congress committee. Let's hear what the House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer had to say.
With respect to the former president, one reason I think most Americans want President Clinton to answer some questions is because Jeffrey Epstein visited the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. And then we know that Bill Clinton flew on Epstein's plane somewhere around 27 times after the presidency. So no one's accusing Bill Clinton of any wrongdoing. We just have questions.
We have questions. Sean, that's James Comer. The Clintons are refusing to come before his committee. How are they going to deal with this one?
Well, they've already said they're not going. Bill Clinton was due before the committee yesterday, didn't turn up. Hillary Clinton due there today, and she's told them she isn't going to turn up. They have offered the committee to make a written submission setting out what they know, and they say they know very little. They have no knowledge, they say, of anything untoward, any of the abuse of Epstein of girls. Yes, Bill Clinton went on the plane a number of times. It was a well-publicized trip to Africa back in the early 2000s, and some of the photographs that came out in the recent Epstein file dumps show Clinton in various places, including number 10 Downing Street as part of that visit. But they say they did nothing wrong, as did Jim Comer there, and as did Susie Wiles, President Trump's chief of staff, in her recent Vanity Fair interview, saying that nothing that she has seen in the Epstein files points to any wrongdoing. Nevertheless, the committee would like to hear from him, in particular the Republican members of the committee, and that is where the Clintons are pushing back and saying, look, this is getting political, this is supposed to be an investigation into Jeffrey Epstein, and you're turning it into an investigation of your own political enemies. The very clear suggestion from the Clintons and their supporters is that Mr. Comer and his fellow Republicans on the committee are trying to divert attention away from President Trump and any links he might have had with Jeffrey Epstein and shine the spotlight on prominent Democrats who had associations with Epstein, including the Clintons.
That was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan. It's 22 minutes past 8.